Ever imagine getting a tax break for sending your kids to school?
Any school.
Yeah, any school. Sounds pretty good,
Oh,
right?
yeah, I see that.
But what if that break indirectly helped fund religious schools? That's the issue in Mueller v. Allen.
A 1983 Supreme Court case that still has an impact today.
You sent over some legal briefs, some background on the case. We're going to break it all down.
The arguments, the ruling, and why it all still matters today.
Whether you're a legal scholar or just interested in these big decisions.
This deep dive will give you the knowledge you need.
It's fascinating how a simple tax deduction turns into a big constitutional showdown.
It really is.
So let's set the scene. It's 1978,
Okay.
and Minnesota passes this law that lets parents deduct education expenses from their state taxes. Public school, private school, didn't matter.
Interesting.
Tuition, textbooks, transportation, all deductible. Seems fair, right?
Well, on the surface, sure, but there's a catch.
No.
At the time, something like 95% of private schools in Minnesota were religious.
Wow. So this seemingly neutral tax break.
Had a ripple effect, possibly sending state funds towards religious education.
I see where this is going.
And that's when a group of taxpayers sued.
They claimed Minnesota's law violated the Establishment Clause.
That's right, the First Amendment.
The one about the government not establishing or favoring a religion.
Exactly.
But how does a tax deduction cross that line?
That was the big question the Supreme Court had to answer. And they used the Lemon Test to do it.
For those of us who haven't been to law school, can you refresh our memory on that test?
Sure. The Lemon Test has three criteria to avoid violating the Establishment Clause.
Okay.
First, it has to have a secular purpose, like a non-religious reason for it to exist.
Makes sense.
Second, the main effect can't be to help or hurt religion.
Right.
And third, it can't create excessive entanglement between the government and religion.
So, did Minnesota's law pass the Lemon Test?
Well, the court was split 5-4, but the majority sided with Minnesota.
A close one. So,
Right.
tell me, what was the majority's reasoning?
Well, Justice Rehnquist wrote the opinion. He argued that educating citizens is a valid state interest. It doesn't matter if it's a public or private school.
That makes sense. But what about advancing religion? I mean, 95% of the private schools being religious seems like a big deal to ignore.
You'd think so, but the majority focused on something else, private choice.
Private choice.
They argued that the deduction itself was neutral,
Okay.
and if it helped religious schools.
It was only because parents were choosing them, not the state.
Right.
So essentially, the government's saying, we're just helping everyone with education. It's up to parents to choose where to use it.
Exactly. And for the majority, that parental choice argument was enough to satisfy the Lemon Test.
They didn't seem too concerned about most private schools being religious.
Not really.
That seems like a loophole, though, right? If parents are choosing religious schools because of the tax break, doesn't that still support them?
That's a great point, and
Yeah.
it gets to the heart of this whole debate.
I bet the dissenting justices had something to say about that.
Oh, absolutely. Justice Marshall wrote a scathing dissent.
He must have.
He basically accused the majority of turning a blind eye to what he saw as a clear subsidy for religious schools.
So tell me, what were Justice Marshall's main concerns?
He argued that this private choice argument was just a way to sidestep the real issue. He said, even if the money isn't going directly to the church, the state is still helping fund religious education.
Whether it's through direct payments or tax breaks.
Right. He saw it as six of one, half a dozen of the other.
So he wasn't buying it. Did he have any other major points of contention?
Yeah, he was also worried about the lack of safeguards
Safeguards.
in the law to prevent the funds from being used for religious instruction.
I see.
It wasn't like the law said, okay, you can deduct math and science, but not
It
theology.
was all the same.
Exactly.
So Justice Marshall was saying, don't tell me they won't use this for religious purposes.
Pretty much. He felt the majority opinion went against the separation of church and state.
That the state shouldn't financially support religion at all.
Yeah.
Strong words. This case really raised some fundamental questions about church and state and how we interpret them.
Absolutely. And this case wasn't just a one-off. Mueller v. Allen really set the stage for future legal battles over school choice and funding.
Especially when it comes to vouchers.
Exactly.
But before we dive into the legacy of Mueller and how it led to things like vouchers, let's take a minute to digest what we've learned.
Sounds good.
So before we went on that tangent, we were talking about the disagreement in Mueller v. Allen between the majority and the dissent.
Yeah, the private choice argument versus the potential impact.
The majority emphasized the choice part.
Saying, as long as the deduction was neutral,
it didn't matter that parents might use it for religious schools.
Right, but the dissent said that ignored the reality on the ground.
That the state was essentially subsidizing religious education.
Even if it wasn't directly.
So a clash about the Establishment Clause, basically.
Yeah, for sure.
Anything else in the dissent that really stuck out to you?
I think Justice Marshall's concern about the lack of safeguards.
Safeguards.
Yeah, he pointed out that there was nothing to stop schools from using this money for religious instruction.
Like, the law didn't distinguish between using the money for secular classes or religious ones.
It was all the same.
So the dissent was saying the majority was being naive in thinking religious schools wouldn't use it for religious things.
Exactly.
And that goes back to the separation of church and state.
Yeah, Justice Marshall felt the majority opinion really blurred the lines.
And could have long-term consequences.
Which it did.
Mueller v. Allen really set a precedent for later cases about school choice and government funding.
Especially with vouchers.
Vouchers are always a hot topic.
Mueller set the stage for Zelman v. Simmons-Harris in 2002.
Which upheld those programs.
Zelman was about a voucher program in Ohio.
Where parents got vouchers to send their kids to private schools.
Including religious ones.
And the court used the private choice idea from Mueller.
To reach their decision.
So in a way, Mueller made it easier for public money to go to religious schools.
If it's framed as giving parents a choice.
I'm sure that didn't sit well with everyone.
Oh, there was pushback for sure from people who see this as violating the Establishment Clause.
I bet.
They argued that even if parents are choosing.
The government's still funding religious instruction by giving those vouchers.
Which can be used at religious schools.
So it's a subsidy, they say.
I mean much.
So the debate continues.
Does parental choice mask state-funded religion, or is it the best way to balance everything?
It's complex.
It really is. And this debate comes up outside of vouchers, too.
Like with tax breaks for religious organizations or funding for faith-based social services.
Even funding for religious schools to provide secular services.
It seems like Mueller v. Allen opened a can of worms.
About the line between church and state.
It's crazy how a tax deduction case became such a big debate.
It really shows the power of precedent.
And how a seemingly small legal decision can have ripple effects.
Mueller v. Allen might have been decided back in 1983, but it's still relevant today.
So much to think about with this case.
Yeah, how it all started with those tax deductions.
And it turned into this huge debate about church and state.
You mentioned Mueller v. Allen having this ripple effect.
Shaping other cases and laws.
What kind of impacts are we seeing today because of this case?
Well, like we said before, Mueller was a big step toward school vouchers.
With Zelman upholding them.
Vouchers are everywhere now.
These programs let parents use public funds to send their kids to private school.
Even religious ones.
And that's a big part of this funding religious education debate.
So Mueller kind of paved the way for more public money going to religious schools.
With this private choice argument justifying it all.
But the legal debate isn't over.
Definitely not. Mueller and Zelman set off a ton of lawsuits.
With people arguing that these programs violate the Establishment Clause.
Because they say it all comes down to funding religious teaching.
It's a constant battle.
Between those who want school choice and those who want a strong separation of church and state.
Back and forth.
And it comes up in other areas, too.
Not just school vouchers.
Right. Think about tax breaks for religious groups or funding for faith-based social services.
Or even giving money to religious schools for secular stuff.
Mueller v. Allen really opened up a lot of questions.
About that line between church and state.
It's like we're still dealing with the fallout from Mueller.
Trying to figure out where to draw the line.
Between religious freedom and the government staying neutral, and that's why it's so important to talk about this stuff.
We can't just sit back and watch.
We need to stay informed about these issues and really think about how to balance all these different values.
It's complex.
Very complex.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Mueller v. Allen,
what are some things our listeners should take away?
What should they be thinking about?
Well, even these technical legal cases can have a huge impact.
Like Mueller v. Allen proves.
It started as a case about tax deductions and sparked this long debate about church and state.
It shows that the law isn't just some abstract idea.
It really affects how our society works.
It also shows how important precedents are.
One decision can lead to a whole bunch of changes legally and socially.
Mueller v. Allen might be an older case.
But we're still seeing its effects today.
It influences how we deal with religious freedom, government funding, and the separation of church and state.
And as these questions keep coming up,
we got to deal with them carefully and thoughtfully.
It's been fascinating looking at Mueller v. Allen.
It's a good reminder that legal history isn't just boring old cases.
It's about understanding the things that affect our lives.
Maybe this deep dive will make some of you want to learn about other landmark cases
that have shaped things today.
That's what we like to hear.
Stay curious out there.
Until next time.
Keep learning.
And remember, the law is always changing.
It's up to all of us to engage with it.
We'll see you on the next deep dive.
See you then.